विलास प्रभवा वैभव रूपे द्विविधा प्रकाश. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, enjoys himself in six primary expansions. His two manifestations are Prabhava and Vaibhava. Prabhava, what we are discussing here, are the six vilas forms, or pastime forms, that are manifested of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to go over them very briefly today, and in future class we're going to discuss these six vilas forms in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Srila Sanatana Goswami in regard to the whole spectrum of the various expansions and incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord primarily expands himself in two categories, namely Prabhava and Vaibhava. The Prabhava forms are fully potent like Sri Krishna. And they and the Vaibhava forms are partially potent. The Prabhava forms are manifested in relation with the Lord's potencies, and the Vaibhava forms are manifested in relation with his excellences. We will discuss this in greater detail in a future class. His incarnations are of two kinds, Ankhya Shakti Vesha Rupe Vidhavatar Balya Poganda Dharma Duitar Prakar. His incarnations are of two kinds, namely partial and empowered. He appears in two ages, childhood and boyhood, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The vilas forms are six in number. Incarnations are of two varieties, namely Shaktyavesh and Amshavesh. Shaktyavesh generally means a jivatma that is especially empowered by the Lord to fulfill specific mission in the material world. But also, sometimes the Lord himself can also appear within Shaktivesh, which means he is empowered for a specific purpose. And Amsavesh is when the Lord partially appears, a partial expansion of himself in this world. These incarnations also come within the category of Prabhava and Vaibhava manifestations. Childhood and boyhood are two special features of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, but his permanent feature is his eternal form as an adolescent youth. The original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is always worshipped in his eternal adolescent form. Kishora Swarupa Krishna Swayam Avatari Kridakari Echai Rupe Vishwabhari. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who is eternally an adolescent, is the primeval Lord, the source of all incarnations. He expands himself in these six categories of forms to establish his supremacy throughout the universe. Echai rupe hoy ananta vibedha, ananta rupe eka rupa nahi kechu bedha. In these six kinds of forms there are innumerable varieties. Although they are many, they are all one. There is no difference between them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. the personality of Godhead manifests himself in six different features. 1. Prabhava. 2. Vaibhava. 3. Empowered incarnations. 4. Partial incarnations. 5. Childhood. And 6. Boyhood. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, whose permanent feature is adolescence, enjoys his transcendental proclivities by performing pastimes in these six forms. In these six features, there are unlimited divisions of the personality of Godhead's forms. The jivas, or living beings, are differentiated parts and parcels of the Lord. They are all diversities of the one without a second, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very, very wonderful and deep science of the various ways the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests within this material world. And it is also a very subtle understanding which brings about a great enlightenment and appreciation for the Lord through his various manifestations in this world. We have a superficial understanding of how the Lord has appeared in so many different ways. How he has appeared as Kurma, as Matsya, as Varaha, as Narasimha, as Vamana Dev, Parasuram, Sri Ramchandra, how he appeared as Balaramji, as Buddha, and how he will appear as Kalki. He also appeared as Mohini Murti, Dattatreya, Hamsa, Nara Narayan, Kapila Dev. Now, hearing the pastimes, these are all vilas, expansions of the Lord. That means they appear for the purpose of performing divine pastimes. We also hear of incarnations such as Vyasadeva, literary incarnation. Now, when Krishna appears, one of the great benedictions is not so much, it is so much, but besides his paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, he appears to reestablish principles of religion, to protect the devotees, and to annihilate the miscreants. Besides this, Krishna explains in Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti swarupam. One who understands the nature of my appearance and activities when I come into this material world, he never takes birth again. So, why the great acharyas, such as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent a good portion of time describing these various prabhava, vaibhava, swayamrupa, ekatma, vilas, avesha rupa, these various categories of the incarnations of Godhead. And each one of these various avatars fits in a particular category for a particular reason. For so many subtle reasons. The more we understand this, the more we understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities, the more we can really appreciate how they are all related to Krishna, the more we can understand how Krishna is performing such wonderful work. Just like science, material science. Originally, people like Isaac Newton, Galileo, they were actually very religious people. They were spiritually minded. And their idea was they wanted to, for the glorification of God, for the world, to show how great is God. Because in the Christian scripture it says God is great. And essentially in the Christian and Judaic scriptures, God's greatness is mainly in his power to create. There's little said about his incarnations, there's little said about his activities in the spiritual world. But his greatness is basically understood in two ways in the Western scriptures. His creative potency and his mercy, his kindness, as well as his wrath, which is another side of his kindness. So these great people, they were thinking that Krishna is, or God is great by his creative potency. So the more we can understand in detail how he is creating, the more we'll understand how great he is, and the more we'll appreciate him. Because superficially we say, yes, God has created, very good. But the more you go into the deepness and the technicalities of how this creation is working, the more we're struck with wonder and astonishment of how great God really is. Just like if you see a leaf and you think, oh, this is a nice leaf. God has created it. It's green, it's shiny, it's very nice. But when you look at it under a microscope and you see all the different atoms and molecules and electrons and neutrons and the photosynthesis and everything that's taking place for its production, you're thinking, my God, this is millions of times more than I thought a leaf was. Krishna's really great. Huh? The more you understand the details of God's creation, the more you realize how great he really is. And this is originally what science was for. To further glorify God by seeing how infinitely he is great. There is a word, Anu. The word Anu literally means atomic in size, but it's less than atomic in size. In the Vedas it describes that when the sunshine comes through the window, those little tiny specks that you see, they are called Anu. But Anu also means the smallest particle. There was one philosopher, a Sankhya philosopher, who this atheistic Kapila Dev, he explained that the basic formula of all creation is the Paramanu. And from this smallest material element, everything has been created within the world. So he's explaining that everything has a material cause. But if you, what the scientists have found, their conception for a long time was the Anu, was an atom. It was the small, first the molecule was considered the smallest particle. Then they discovered the atom. Then they discovered the electron and the neutron. And if they go into the electron and neutron, they will find even smaller things. This material world, there is always something smaller, which is the basis of what is bigger. This is how God is created. Anato aniyan, mahato aniyan. He is smaller than the smallest and he is greater than the greatest. So the more we understand the details of this creation, the more we are struck with wonder, ready to surrender our lives with greater and greater appreciation to Krishna. So similarly, when the Lord himself incarnates, the more we can categorically understand how he incarnates, why he incarnates, what various incarnations are manifesting, how they are manifesting, what category they are manifesting. It gives us such a deeper understanding of Krishna's glory when he appears in this world that we realize more and more and more the supreme opulence of Sri Krishna. So for this reason, we will discuss in much greater depth the various manifestations, categorically, of how the Lord appears in this world. And here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the six basic vilas rupas, or manifestations of the Lord, which he takes for the sake of pastimes. Prabhava, where he manifests his potencies, Vaibhava, where he manifests his excellence, Shaktivesh, where he empowers Jivatmas for specific purposes, Angshavesh, where he himself partially expands for specific purposes, childhood and boyhood. This is very interesting, because it is described here that Krishna originally is Nitya Kishore. He is always 16 years old. Kishore means about 15, 16 years old. That is his eternal roop in the spiritual world. When he appears in this material world, he appears in this as childhood and boyhood. They are different categories because they are of a different form than Krishna. They are fully manifested with all the transcendental potencies of Krishna. Still, he is incarnating in a different form. Childhood and boyhood. Chit Shakti Swarup Shakti Antaranganam Tahara Vaibhava Anant Vaikuntari Dham. The Chit Shakti, which is also called Swarup Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. Chit Shakti means the Yogamaya potency. It is also called the Swarup Shakti or Antaranga Shakti. It is the internal energy of the Lord. It is this energy which sustains the kingdom of God and all of its paraphernalia. Maya Shakti Bahiranga Jagadatkaran Tahara Vaibhava Ananta Brahmanderakan. The external energy, called Maya Shakti, is the cause of innumerable universes with varied material potencies. Jiva Shakti Tatasthakya Nahi Yaranta Mukyatina Shakti Tara Vibeda Anta. The marginal potency, which is between these two, consists of the numberless living beings. These are the three principal energies, which have unlimited categories and subdivisions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The internal potency of the Lord, which is called Chit Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, exhibits variegatedness in the transcendental Vaikuntha cosmos. Besides ourselves, there are unlimited numbers of liberated living beings who associate with the personality of Godhead in his innumerable features. Then the material cosmos displays the external energy, in which the conditioned living beings are provided all liberty to go back to the personality of Godhead after leaving the material tabernacle. The Svetasvatara Upanishad informs us, Natasya karyam karanam javidyate natat samas cha bhyadikascha disyate parashya shaktir vivadaiva shruyate svabhaviki gyani bala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord is one without a second. He has nothing to do personally, nor does he have material senses. No one is equal to nor greater than him. He has unlimited variegated potencies of different names which exist within him as autonomous attributes and provide him full knowledge, power, and pastimes. So, the Jivatma is the Tatashta Shakti, which means the marginal potency, which is residing between the Chit Shakti and the Maya Shakti. And the Jivatma, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, has all the qualities of Krishna. Not all the qualities, but 78% of the qualities of Krishna, in minute proportion. And in this way, the Jivatma always has the surat, or the swarat, the choice to either be the surrendered servant of Maya Shakti or Chit Shakti. And the purpose of all of these various incarnations that Kaviraj is explaining is to give the Jivatma, who has misused his independence, the understanding and the opportunity by which he can again come under the Chit Shakti, the Daivi Shakti of the Lord. Now, of the Prabhava forms and Vaibhava forms, they each have their own Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual sky. There are temporary forms and eternal forms. Temporary, some of the expansions or incarnations of the Lord, they simply manifest in this world for a temporary purpose, for a temporary time. But most of the incarnations of this world, they are eternal forms of Godhead. And each one of these avatars, in his original form, or original existence, has his own Vaikuntha planet in the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky. And those Vaikuntha forms, which appear in this material world, come through the prayers of the demigods to Kshirodakshai Vishnu at Svetadvip, that transcendental abode of the Lord within this material universe. So in this way, they are incarnations coming down to the earth, but each one, as I say, has his own Vaikuntha planet. And one who serves and surrenders with love and remembrance of that particular avatar, it is not that everyone goes to the same place. They will go to that particular manifestation of Godhead in the eternal spiritual world. It is not that if you worship Lord Narsingadev as your Ishtadev that you will go back to Krishna, or if you worship Ram that you will go back to Krishna. Although it is the same supreme divine personality of Godhead, he is manifesting himself in these various Prabhava and Vaibhava forms in the Vaikunthas as well. And therefore, this, just like it is explained that Ayodhya is a spiritual planet in Vaikuntha. Similarly, Vamana Dev, Varaha Dev, they all have their eternal Vaikuntha planets. But there, they are in their form as Forearm Narayan. But it is that particular personality. And in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the opportunity that the Jiva Shakti is being given by these various categories of avatars that come into this world to attract their minds back home, back to Godhead. Is there any questions?
Temporary, what does it mean, temporary forms? They're only manifesting in the material world, they don't have a planet.
Prabhupada explains the potent Prabhava manifestations are also of two varieties, temporary and eternal. The Mohini, Hamsa, and Shukla forms are manifested only temporarily in terms of a particular age. But others, they are eternally manifested, but they just come to this material world temporarily. They are eternally manifested in Vaikuntha. They are eternally manifested in Vaikuntha, but they come down to this, but they manifest only temporarily in this world. In other words, they do not have a particular planet in Vaikuntha. An example is Mohini Murti. I mean, what devotee is going to be a pure devotee of Mohini? She was none other than Vishnu, but she appeared just for a very special purpose, according to time and circumstance, to show the glory of Lord Shiva, ultimately. But it's not that that beautiful form of Mohini Murti is, which is really the manifestation of the ultimate beauty of a woman, and really Lord Shiva, it's not that he worshipped Mohini Murti, it's that he became completely bewildered by Mohini Murti. So this is a form, according to here, Prabhupada explains, it's not an eternal form of Vaikuntha, but it's a special form where Krishna just temporarily takes this form, shows the glory of Lord Shiva, and then the form is merges back into the Kshirodakshai Vishnu. Therefore, just manifesting through Kshirodakshai Vishnu incarnates as Mohini, and then she goes back into Kshirodakshai Vishnu. But other avatars, such as Ram, Narasimha, they are residing eternally in Vaikuntha. They manifest through Kshirodakshai Vishnu. But afterward they return, they that form merges back in again to the original form in the spiritual world.
Simultaneously, both are existing.
Yes.
The form and the expansion.
Yes. It's not that he leaves Vaikuntha for to come here. Because simultaneously, each of these Vaikuntha forms is manifesting in innumerable universes. It's not just one universe at a time.
And one more, Balya and Pogandalila. This is of all the incarnations? Or is it only of Prabhu?
Specifically speaking of Krishna. Narasimhadev, we do not read about Balya or Pogandalila.
Ram.
Ram is a very special incarnation. That is why Ram especially is higher in rasa than any other avatar other than Krishna, because he did accept this form as a child and he was worshipped in Vatsalya Rasa.
Sometime back in the Bhagavatam lecture, we heard that Krishna displays childhood pastimes only in this material world, not in the spiritual world.
According to here, it describes that Krishna's original eternal form in the spiritual world is Kishore. In Goloka Vrindavan. He could, but it's an expansion of that original. But there's a certain sweetness that Krishna reveals when he comes down to this material world, which is very unique in his taking birth, in his baby pastimes, and so forth.
It is said that the incarnations of the Lord are also written in the sense that we read some chapters ago, teachings about Chaitanya also, that Prabhupada gives the example of the sun, how it's at 2 o'clock eternally, but different parts of the globe. In the same way, once one particular incarnation of Krishna finishes his pastime in this planet, he goes to some other planet, he enacts his pastime there, then to another, and so on. That sense is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So then the material representation of the avatar is also eternal, it's going on in the material.
So long as the Mahatattva and the material Prakriti is existing. At the time when Karanodakshai Vishnu pulls everything back into his body, it's not, they are no longer manifested. But as long as there is the manifested Prakriti, and each of the avatars are constantly performing lilas. And not only lila, avatar, it's not that they go from one universe to another, but each one of their pastimes is constantly going on somewhere. Just like Lord Kaviraj Goswami explains that when Krishna is stealing butter and being bound by the ropes, and he pulls through the Arjuna trees, and Nala Kubera and Manigriva come out. As soon as that's done, what's the next lila here? As soon as that's done, then all the cowherd men and cowherd women, they see the Arjuna trees falling and they start all making all protective mantras for Krishna. But while they're doing that, in another universe he's pulling down Arjuna trees. And then everybody gathers together all afraid, and they start chanting their mantras for the protection of Krishna. And in another universe, he's pulling another Arjuna trees down. So each of his pastimes is always going on somewhere in the material creation. It's not that Krishna goes through his 125 years and then he moves to the next universe, and then goes 125 years and moves to the next universe. He's existing simultaneously so many places, and every pastime is somewhere taking place in this material existence.
Each pastime in that sense is eternal. Every moment there is, every pastime is going on somewhere.
Yes.
Who is original Krishna?
Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda Krishna. As it is explained here, the original Krishna is the Kishore Krishna, who is playing upon his flute as a eternal Navayovanam Cha, as an eternal youth. That is the original form of Godhead.
So once, in each universe, every incarnation of Krishna is already present. So when he finishes his few moments or few days of...
Not in each universe. Not necessarily. There are so many universes that in some universe, each pastime of each incarnation is taking place. But there are so many innumerable universes. In this particular universe, it is only the holy name that is having his lila. Right? And this earth planet within this universe. But in other universes, see, Krishna, Mahaprabhu just left this universe 500 years ago. But he's always manifesting each one of his leelas somewhere. See, in each universe, we have to understand, when once in every day of Brahma, Krishna appears. Once in every day of Brahma, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. So you can imagine how many universes there must be. If in each universe, only once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears, and yet he's appearing in so many universes simultaneously, performing his different pastimes. This gives us some understanding of the greatness of God in the form of this creation. It says innumerable universes. That means it's beyond millions, it's beyond trillions, it's beyond quadrillions. There are innumerable universes emanating from the body of Mahavishnu. Countless universes. And this one little universe that we're seated in, even the greatest scientists and astrologers, they cannot fathom its length and breadth and depth. When we understand this, we realize what a jiva really is. Just such an insignificant living entity, and yet we're thinking, I am great. God is great. We are not great. When Bhakti Pad once approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I think I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. When we understand that, then we become Krishna conscious. People may think this will create an inferiority complex to think I'm so insignificant. It will, if that's all you think. But if you understand your insignificance in relationship to the greatness of God, then it creates transcendental consciousness, not inferiority. Then you put all your pride and all your love and all your trust not in you anymore, but in the All Great, in Krishna. This is the transcendental superiority complex, to understand how great is Krishna. But to the degree you think you are great, to that degree you cannot appreciate Krishna's greatness. To the degree you realize you are insignificant, to that degree Krishna will reveal to you his eternal, unlimited, infinite greatness. We are Anu, he is Vibhu. Great, unlimited, infinite. We are infinitesimal.
Maharaj, can Jivatma ever attain a stage where one is just constantly also just playing with Krishna and
watching his leela through service and devotion, and the jivatma reach such a stage where we just, we are also, the spirit soul is also eternal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that eternity, can we ever reach a stage where we just continuously playing with him, watching his leela, and just going along with him through the various universes?
What is the answer, Tattva? Huh?
Yes.
Yes. That's all? Any explanation? Tattva is a man of few words, but very, when he says something, it's very potent and full of shakti. Yes. I can describe in detail for 3 days, and his yes will give you more realization. That is the Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. That is our eternal constitutional position, to be in that state that you are saying. To be a part of Krishna's divine leela, always sharing his loving exchange, always watching his beautiful pastimes. That is our nature. And when our heart is purified, adoshitatata sadhu sanguta bhajana kriya, gradually, through the process of purification, coming through the process of bhakti, we come to that platform of prema bhakti. Prema bhakti means when you understand your eternal constitutional relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, and you are engaged in that divine service.
Raj, like each Brahmanda has different planetary systems. Like in this Brahmanda, the Brahma has four heads. Like in other Brahmanda also, there are different. Many planets are only 14 planets. Number is...
We will have to research that specific question. The various universes are of different sizes. And according to the heads of Brahma, that's how many directions there are. There are universes with millions of directions. Now, because our perception is only four directions, it's very impossible for us to even try to comprehend this. But to speak of how one person could have millions of heads on one body, it sounds like it would be a very uncomfortable situation. Huh? But actually, that's because of our relative perspective, that we're, all we know is one head. Huh? But when there's only four directions, one head's a lot. But if there's millions of directions, millions of heads are normal. To have one head would be completely a freak, abnormal in such a universe. Huh? So, for Brahma, anyway. So what I'm saying is, we cannot understand these with our relative understanding, but what we can appreciate is the inconceivable greatness of this cosmic manifestation. Come across an explanation of Brahmas born from Garbho, Daksha, Vishnu and other universes. Although we know that they have, it describes that they do, but exactly how and what the stem of the lotus is, and from that Garbho Daksha Vishnu, we will do research to try to answer your very, very vital, essential Krishna conscious question.
I thought you answered that question. That question does not lead to enlightenment.
Actually, anything related to Krishna leads to enlightenment. Huh?
Maybe that's what he answers.
I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking all details about Prabhava, Vaibhava, Eka Rupa. Anything related to Krishna, if it's asked sincerely, leads to enlightenment. Doesn't lead to enlightenment if we don't know the answer.
I think that's a perfect point.
What else?
When Jivatma tells spiritual world, how does he have the relation? Because spiritual world is so vast, so big. How he has direct relationship with Krishna?
Because Krishna's more vast and more big. He's anato aniyan mahato mahiyan. He is smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest. This is the greatness of God. That is Paramatma. He is personally seated beside each and every jivatma, everywhere. In this way, he is anato aniyan, smaller than the smallest. And he's ready to have an intimate, personal, loving relationship with only you. He already does, but you're not willing to accept it. Krishna has a personal, intimate, loving relationship, one-on-one, with every jivatma in this world. But we're not willing to accept it. We're not willing to reciprocate. We're too busy trying to fulfill our own selfish ambitions. This is Krishna's glory. Any other questions?